Oh, it's the time, join the morning show. Oh, just playing, man. Here in Cincinnati, we got a show called Tom Joyner. If you're not familiar, anyway, well, we had Tom Joyner before he retired. I guess that's not just a Cincinnati thing. Anyway, man, welcome back to the Anonymous Author Podcast. It's your boy, Anonymous, the author, back in the building, back in a place to be. I hope y'all been good. I hope y'all missed me. I missed y'all. Even though this relationship is a little abusive, I'm glad that y'all keep checking in with me on a weekly basis. I do post weekly. It's just not, you know, in the same part of the week. But it's within, like, Monday through Sunday. You know, the next week, it's sometime between Monday and Sunday. And, like, I might not do Monday. Monday might do Monday and then Wednesday. Now, that's a little more than a week, but technically, if you look at the calendar next week, you know, I got out. But what I'm saying is, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for checking with your boy. I found my hat. I've been looking for this Cincinnati Reds hat. I have lost like a lot of hats in the past couple of days. So if you would like to send me some hats, please do. I appreciate it. Now, you don't have to send me a physical hat. You can send me the Cash App money and I will definitely get the hat. And but hats go for about $2,000-$3,000. So if y'all want to send me I'll definitely get that looked into and cop the hat and bring it on. But yeah, big hat guy. Ever since I like started cutting my own hair, that makes it sound like I'm a terrible barber. But ever since I guess I'll just be honest. Ever since my hair started falling out, man, I've really been taking matters into my own hands and like rocking these hats because the dome piece get a little sweaty, man. This scalp get a little slick. You know what I mean? That's why I grew out my face because I was like, look, if I can't have it up here, I at least have it here and on my back. You know what I'm saying? A little bit on my belly. You know what I'm saying? Luckily, I've avoided the back hair. Except for this, I have this little patch that my barber screwed me on, man. I'm going to say it like this. Barbers, y'all do a lot of good stuff, okay? Like the world wouldn't run without a good barber, okay? You wouldn't want to do business with a scruffy, you know, hobo-ish looking man that came into your office. So shouts out to barbers for doing what they do. But barbers, y'all take a lot of liberties, man. Y'all just think, well, since I'm back here, I might as well just hook up any kind of hair additives that I see put on the mixtures and the combinations. But I've got to tell them like this. We need some of that, like the way the ladies be having the nairs and, oh, this will slow down the healing of the hairs when it comes in. Like all like dude barbers I got that I go to, they got three things that'll hook you up. They got the razor, the clippers, and some kind of oil sheen spray slather that they'll hook you up with. But it's no like, oh, man, we're going to get this, slap it on the back of your neck. We're going to let that sit for a minute, then we're going to wipe it up. It'll make sure it kills the sin. Like, nah, man, it was zzz, like that. I had like a look, like a, when I remember seeing it when I was in the mirror. It was a tiny little strip of hair that was like right here, like on the base of my like neck, like right at the base. And my barber was like, hey, man, you got like a little fuzz back here. I can cut it for you. And I was like, all right. I mean, it's not really bothering me, but if you want to cut it, go ahead. They started doing that. I had been getting that from that barber for about 6 to 7 years. I looked back there the other day. I have got a bush on the back of my neck now. Like, I'm like, oh, my gosh. I have got another area that I've got to worry about when I'm cutting. So, barbers, just a little tidbit of advice. Just a little smackerel of knowledge that I want to give y'all. If y'all going to just, you know, take liberties and cut away from the dome, I don't know, maybe tell somebody like, hey, man, you know, this might grow back. We're going to slap something on it just to keep the hair. We're going to kill the hair follicles back there. Because the thing, like, what I don't understand, and maybe this is just life's cruel irony or, you know, God just telling a funny little cosmic joke. But how is it that if you cut anywhere, man or woman, anywhere, where hair is not supposed to be, it will grow in thicker and bigger and more than you can ever imagine. Like, man, I started with a little pat, started from the bottom, now I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Like, women, you trim a little bit of this over here. Next thing you know, you got a full-blown, you know, beard going on here. You're like, I just shaved it a couple times. That's why the women, listen, they get all the nairs that kill hair follicles, the treatments that kill hair follicles. Like, not only are they trying to get rid of the hair you see, they're trying to make sure that that follicle is destroyed. Okay, they are trying to go to that follicle's house, catch it in its bed, all right, whoop its ass with change in the sock, and the follicle is going to look, man, I'm out, I can't do this no more, okay, every time I try to come in, I get my ass whooped with a bag of coins by these cosmetic chicks, you know what I'm saying, I can't do it, so that hair follicle's dead over here, meanwhile, I got a ponytail growing out the base of my neck, all right, I got a one spot mane growing on the back of my neck, but it is what it is. I'm gonna get that braided pretty soon. I'm gonna just be pulling. I'm gonna just get a lasso with, ha, start pulling bitches. You know what I'm saying? Just start, where did that come? Hey, don't worry about it, girl. Because you know, your head is sensitive. You get it on the base of your neck, you can just lasso them, start pulling them in. You know what I'm saying? On some Wonder Woman shit. You know what I'm saying? She gonna be wondering what kind of woman. I don't know that. I wasn't really going with. I don't know where I was going with that one. But anyway, y'all know what it is. So I've been rambling for 5 minutes, and I didn't even tell y'all what the episode was about. Let me place my hat back on my scalp backwards, like I do. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Okay. So this is really just a check-in update. Y'all know I took too long the first time around, and so I came back with this. I wanted to make sure that I got y'all episode this week. So I might change the name of the podcast to Scrambles, man, because I'll be scrambling trying to get this together. Maybe that's what I should change my rap name to, is Scrambles, instead of Anonymous the Author, because I am deaf. Maybe that'll be the name of the EP. It's definitely Scrambles McGillicuddy, bro, because I don't know. I've always been like a person who sucks with deadlines. Like, the only way I've ever been able to accomplish anything in my life is get it done early. Like, get it done in high school. I was the kid that stayed after class and just did the homework at school, so I didn't have to do it at home. Because at home, I got, you know, Toonami, and listen, Toonami was great, but I got video games and Toonami at home, man. I can't be doing homework. Like, it's impossible. Like, that's why I think study, I don't know, I'm not gonna act like I'm in the schools now. I got two younger cousins who are 16, 17. They about to be out of the schooling system, and I didn't even help them with their homework. I didn't really understand it. But like, schools definitely need to do a better job of just handling kids. I mean, that's just a side note. I forget what I was going with this whole thing about my schedule being terrible. I don't even know what, study hall. Yeah. Kids should definitely have study halls at the end of school to just help them. I feel like if you give them, like, hey, we'll give you 30 minutes, you know, with, I guess with or without teachers, I don't know, but just to do your homework, like, you can stay on school grounds. But then again, that interferes with, like, bus schedules. The kids are catching a bus. But my school, when I went to school, I was within walking distance. I went to North College Hill High School here in Cincinnati, Ohio, or in North College Hill, depending on how you view North College Hill High School. It's a whole thing. It's supposed to technically be its own city. It has its own taxes, but it's, like, right smack in the middle of Cincinnati. It's like, it is what it is. I went to North College Hill High School in North College Hill, Ohio. And it's like the entire width of the city state of North College Hill, Ohio is probably about 10 miles. Like, that's nothing. That's like a strip on the highway. That is not a city, but they wanted to do this whole, listen, this is why I have this whole conspiracy theory. It was implanted in me as a babe. Okay. North College Hill, Ohio basically was like, we want to have our own city. We want to establish our own taxes. We want to charge people whatever we want to charge them for schooling and fire departments and all that. We want to do whatever we want to do. So they did it. North College Hill became its own city, and people pay out of the ass, like, absurd amount of taxes in North College Hill, Ohio, because I wasn't even working at 18. I was living with my mom. I was technically living with my mom. I was going to school, but you know, it's just like a shipping address. You don't really have to change addresses. So for all intents and purposes, I was still at home. Y'all know I had to pay taxes of $300, and I was not even employed. I was getting loans from the government to pay for school. And they were like, by the way, brother, you owe us $300. And I was like, what am I possibly getting taxed on for $300? The tax code, North College Hill, personal tax. At the time, I got hit with $300 for being a resident of North College Hill, Ohio. And I was like, I got to get the hell out of here. Like, I was like, I don't have $300 to give you. So yeah, that's always fun. It's just like, the tax code anywhere is funny, but definitely when you're not even technically employed and they hit you with a tax, it's like, my God. And I had to file because I was getting loans from, it's just fun stuff. Anywho, definitely need to get better with, just helping kids get finished with stuff. Like, just helping them, like, stay up in school, because I was terrible at it. That's why I'm terrible at planning now. I buy planners. I buy, like, so much stuff. Like, an absurd amount of stuff just to try to get on my, just to try to be back to square zero. Like, just to try to stay on top of stuff. And I always, always end up falling behind. Like, it doesn't matter what the situation is like, hey, we need you, like, other than like doctor's appointments. I'm usually, I might be 5-10 minutes late for a doctor's appointment, but even most doctor's appointments are like, hey, if you get here early, just show up and we'll take care of you. So that usually saves it on that end. But like deadlines such as like turning in something, turning in assignments. Sorry, I got my chub showing. As far as like turning in assignments, as far as like getting things done on time, I'm just terrible with it. I've always been bad at it unless I do it immediately after like I need to do it. But long assignments to take months and months and months, man, it's over. So with that being said, the EP is coming, guys. The EP is coming. I promise. I know I'm slacking. I know I'm taking my sweet little time. But, well, first thing is I lost my rhyme book. So that's the first thing is definitely lost my rhyme book. I don't really know what to do. So I just kind of started over. I don't know how that will or won't affect me. I don't know if it'll affect how the music sounds, but I remember enough of the songs because, you know, after I write a song, you obviously go through, run it, and practice it a couple times. Like, who's, I'm not that good to where I'm like, I write it and I'm like, all right, straight in the booth. But I like to like get the rhythm, get the feel of it, rap it a couple times all the way through, make sure I have it back and forth. That helps for live performances. And it really just helps for like getting the cadence down when you do record it. And I liked some of them, but I had enough of the hook in my head to be able to come back to the beats and just write down the beats from memory and then probably change the verses, change a couple inflections, a little inversions, and maybe tweak a couple hooks here and there. So it will be coming pretty soon, guys. I don't know. Definitely the Aesop Rock motif of like writing for me. I definitely am. If you're not familiar with Aesop Rock, one of my favorite rappers ever. Got introduced to him back in like the early 2000s. I was in high school, met my homie Rocksteady. He's the one who taught me to start rapping. He's the one who showed me how to record myself, how to be independent, how to like work over beats and like just do stuff by myself. He was my sensei, my Obi-Wan, if you will. My sweet and sour garlic make things better. that's what I meant. Garlic butter salt makes things better. But he definitely like improved me and sharpened steel, two swords. I don't know. I don't like the idea of two swords. What is that? Two swords crossing the stream? That's completely different from steel sharpened steel, isn't it? That's completely different. So yeah, steel sharpened steel, not swords crossing paths. Forgive me. I don't even know if that'll make me demonetized on YouTube for making that reference. Anyway, yeah, Aesop Rock, one of my favorite rappers ever. He definitely is one of the hermits of the like rap game. Disappears for a while, come back out when he wants to, does tours, does shows, rocks the mic, has a good fun time with it. And definitely one of the rappers that I've looked up to, like, since I started listening to him. Obviously I didn't look up to him back in the day. He was like, when you first hear Aesop, he's definitely like Caviar, I want to say, especially early on music for Earthworms and Float, Commencement at the Obedience Academy. Like, it's a early Aesop stuff, while was cool to read along to, and like some beats were like really interesting and really dope. Some of that stuff was very, very wordy and hella hard to listen to. Like, you listen to it and you're just like, I have no idea what this guy's talking about. I don't know what he's trying to say. Like, how ridiculous can you get with rhymes, man? But he's one of those rappers, like, he just kept checking in with him over the years. Like, he drops Float, he dropped Music for Earthworm. Those were the early ones. But then he drops, like, Labor Days and Skeleton. And then he starts getting into the Impossible Kid. And it just starts getting into more and more, like, abstract art, but super well thought out and well dope. And he's, like, not as wordy as much as he used to be, really explaining things straighter and clearer. And it really hits the ear beautifully. Still has a couple cryptic messages here and there, but that's the things that I've always loved about underground rap. I've always loved the poeticness in the bars, because rap always gets a hit with it's not real music. It's I remember Family Guy, they were making fun of Kanye West, and they were saying, oh yes, how would Robert Blake feel about today's rap music? And it was, you know, cutscene, because that's what Family Guy does. And it's Robert Blake, and say, I won't say she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no what. And it's like, okay, we get it. It's not Robert Blake poetry. Robert Frost, I'm sorry. It's not Robert Blake's artist. Robert Frost level poetry, I'm sorry. The man of Maine. I'm so sorry that we couldn't get on his level of Autumn Falls. Like, get out of here, dude. Like, it's just music. It just is what it is. But Aesop Rock, LP, on a lot of songs, especially early on when he was solo, super cryptic messages. And I just love the way that they wrote their lyrics down. I love the way that they had certain rhyme schemes. It's just beautiful. Like, that's the only way that I can think of. I'm going to look up some Aesop Rock lyrics real quick just to illustrate how much, like, I really like his music. This is from his new song, Kotokushi. Kotokushi is the style of someone being so lonely that they die, which is in itself, like, pretty dope. Kotokushi definition is: a lonely death refers to a phenomenon of people dying alone and remaining undiscovered for a long period of time. And that really just goes along with the Aesop Rock model. Like, he's definitely a hermit like myself, definitely doesn't like to be out amongst a whole bunch of people. Definitely in his lyrics, he definitely purveys that message. But anyway, I'm going to rap a couple bars of his song. And it's so interesting, so intricate. I might describe the words, but just to give you an explanation of, like, how abstract I love bars, how cryptic I love lyrics, and how dope that I think this guy is. This song is called, as I said, Kotokushi. I told you what the meaning of the word is. This is on his album that is basically about a spirit world field guide, which I love, which is basically about him basically tapping into the spirit world on a very surface level. So we'll just start that. So this is the first verse. I shouldn't even be here. Mum's the word. I burn down the house. I gum up the works. I'm the wrong vibration to summon earth. When the cuffs break, better make enough of the cure. I go proto-human. I'm so unruly. Architect of my Kotokushi. On guard, hop in the box of chopped arms. On the blocks beyond the pop art stockyard. Got a red phone right to the side. I could turn a rib cage into wind chimes. You don't want to engage, kiddo. It's a burden to bear. It's a whirly bird, nervous in the surface to air. I lost count of the cooks, every coward and crook, every memory of the semblance of an out of the woods. I'm two unrubbed elbows well in the weeds. Even the good eye couldn't find the edge of my seat. Like, let me just, like, like, do you hear the ball? Like, I love, like, when he says, got a red phone right to the side. Like, if you don't know, red phone obviously is the president. When the president gets an emergency call, when, like, it's extremely important that it's immediately that they have to get into contact with, and they ring his, it's usually what it's was or what it is currently is a huge, is a big red phone. Looks like someone you just pick up. But I got a red phone to the right to the inside. I turn a rib cage into wind chimes. Like, it's just so random. Like, it's just very abstract, very crazy. It's a whirly bird, nervous in the surface to air. I lost count of the crooks, every coward and crook, every memory of the semblance of an out in the woods. I'm two unrubbed elbows well in the weeds. Even the good eye couldn't find the edge of my seat. Man, can we, I'll just stop there. I just really enjoy his lyrics, man. Those weren't nearly as abstract. Like I said, that's from way more of a recent project that he's been working on that I really enjoy. It's just abstract lyrics, abstract references. You definitely have to be on the inside. Like, you have to, like, be familiar with his lyrics, because if you first hear it, you're going to be like, what the hell is this guy talking about? But definitely one of the guys where, kind of like a Bob Dylan, like, definitely, I don't want to say he's Bob Dylan influenced, but definitely could understand if he was like, oh, y'all listen to Bob Dylan early on. And I love the way he put lyrics on pages. And so I just got more abstract, or like, I mean, there's all types of artists over the years. I don't want to say Bob Dylan, but a whole bunch of artists that have really loved using abstract rhymes, abstract ideas and concepts.
When you have someone like Eminem who does really multisyllabic rhyming, like I said, on the other side, you have Aesop who does make multisyllabic rhyming as well, but really focuses on abstract lyrics, abstract references, really making you connect the dots. Go to Rap Genius and read the lyrics of some Aesop Rock songs, man. You'll have a fun time. Listen to the song first, of course, because if you're just reading the lyrics along, you're like, how does anyone enjoy this? But listen to the actual song. You'll love it. Like I say, check out Kotokushi by Aesop Rock. Really a dope song. Really a dope artist. Really underrated, but he makes all these references in this track. He knows he's underrated, knows he's underground, knows he's not referenced or appreciated as much as he should be, but he's still appreciated in certain nooks and crannies. Which brings me to like the last topic. I've been here about 20 minutes, man. I know y'all getting tired of me at this point, so I'll definitely get ready to check out. But this brings me to my last like kind of topic and talking point. It's really just, I guess, sponsorship, or I don't even know how I should like phrase this. I guess I'll just tell like a story and then I'll give it some context. So I am a huge, huge supporter of civil disobedience, big supporter of fight the power in a sense, and fight the power is any power structure that you see in front of you. That is actually a power structure, not like, well, black people think, or, you know, I don't think that affirmative action is like, first of all, black people don't even benefit from affirmative action. Like, let's get that out the way. The number one group who benefits from affirmative action is white women. So white people still benefit from policies that were supposed to help black people. So that's just, you can look up the statistics. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah, any kind of power structure is like fight the power, like oppose the forces that oppose you. And, my biggest issue with like things that I've been seeing, especially like online and social media and like a lot of the movements, is like they have sponsors, man. And this is like a huge, huge double-edged sword to me. I've been a fan of hip hop, which has been urban insurrection in the gentlest of forms, the easiest way that I see it. You get to talk about your neighborhood, like when Cam'ron, Jay-Z, all of them were getting in trouble for talking about their neighborhoods, like Nas, yo, this is the life that I'm living, this is what I've been through, this is how I survived early on. I might be doing that now still, but I'm telling you about things I've gone through. I'm trying to grow out of it. And like, on a certain level, you respect it. Like, we've all had bad situations that we've come from. If you never had a struggle, you're not living life right. I'm just sorry. Like, if you've been privileged all your life and you've only known good times and you've never had to, I don't know, eat a bread sandwich, you know what I'm saying? You know, eat some cold toast. What am I calling that? Bread. When you just got to eat bread. Like, when you just got to say, look, I got to eat this piece of bread for the night and call it even. You say, oh, well, what we going to put in the bread? Hope. it ain't no fixings. It ain't no, well, let's put some cheese in the grill. Let's grill it on. It ain't no electricity to grill, sir. Like, you might have a legal, you go out back, but if you're living in the project, you're just standing around a campfire with some niggas you don't know, they might jack you for that grilled cheese. So you eating a bread sandwich, okay? Some Love Lunchables, all right? That's all you're gonna be eating. That's all. Love Lunchables is just Ritz crackers. That's all that is. Like, it is what it is. And I guess what I'm saying is, like, these ways to express yourself, like hip-hop or civil disobedience, they shouldn't always have a sponsor. You shouldn't, at least. If you're truly fighting the power, if you are really opposing something that you really stand hard for, it's possible that your thinking, ideals, and goals might not align with a huge corporate sponsor who wants to be seen as the million-dollar baby. You know what I mean? They want to be seen as this huge conglomerate that that everyone can relate to, and that they can sell their product to everyone, because the products at the end of the day are mass appeal. They want to appeal to the most people. That when people get sponsored, not only are you being sponsored, but the people that are sponsoring you are getting free promotion by attaching themselves to you and your fan base. So that's how promotion works, obviously, and that's how sponsors work. So if you are, let's say, opposing, I don't know, let's say something that's not as popular as opposing, oh, let's say police brutality. And I'm not talking about vague police brutality. I'm not talking about, well, the police should stop killing black people, obviously. I'm not talking about vague police brutality. I'm talking about extremely specific police brutality. Like, if you say, hey, I feel like, I don't know, the police officers that killed so-and-so, at this point, fill in the name. Alton Brown, Donald Sterling, not Donald Sterling, Donald Sterling, wow. I was thinking of Sterling Brown from the Milwaukee Bucks. He plays for Houston now. But yeah, not Donald Sterling. Anywho, he didn't get killed. He just got he got beat up and tased, which is a blessing. But it could be just because he is a professional athlete and they recognized who he was and didn't feel safe killing a professional athlete and making the news. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is, just because you have a goal or you have an idea or you have a cause does not mean that you should like simply align with the Kroger's or a Walmart or a freaking who knows. Like, just because you want to oppose something doesn't mean that you have to align with like every single group. Hi. Hi. All right, guys. Sorry about that. I had a little visitor there at the door. Well, not really a visitor. I had somebody come in. Anyway, man. Yeah, what I was saying was basically you're not going to align with everybody when you have certain ideas or concepts. So it, to me, it makes perfect sense that you wouldn't necessarily agree with a corporate sponsor. Like, if you're truly going on a level of insurrection, not comparing this to the insurrection that happened at the Capitol, but if you're actually going to oppose people, you're not always going to have sponsors. And like with hip hop and with the movement that they have, and not only just hip hop, but just people all across the globe that want to like make big movements, make big change. It's harder to do that without a corporate sponsor, but with a corporate sponsor, they can always pull the money. Like with the whole cancel culture, that's why a lot of these big celebrities are getting kind of salty, is because they're getting money taken away from them for losing sponsors. But that shouldn't change your message. Like, if you're anti-vax, man, go hard with the anti-vax. I don't care personally. I don't care if you're vax or anti-vax. I have no concern whatsoever. Same thing with abortion. I'm a man. I don't really have a say in it. I don't make life. I just, you know, spit it out. So, like the whole anti-abortion fight, the whole pro-life fight, I'm like, pro-life, pro-abortion? Yeah, I think that's it. And whatever the case is, either way, I like kids. I hate kids. Like, it's just kids are kids, man. Like, if you have kids, I like them. If you don't have kids, I don't like them. Like, if I got a woman pregnant, I feel like it wouldn't be within my right to say, hey, you should or shouldn't have the kid. Like, that's your body. You make the decision. I messed up and I, you know, eat it in you so I can deal with the repercussions. So it's like, whatever you decide, I deal with the fallout. But that's just what it is. Like, that's the idea of having responsibility is you shouldn't be able to force your ideas on somebody else's body. You know what I mean? And at the same way, I should be able to get my ball snipped and not have to worry about a woman complaining. Like, well, why did you do this before? You're like, look, I don't want no kids, lady. Like, you don't want to be with me. That's fine. But these balls is dust at this point. That's all that's coming out. But yeah, I think it's fine if you're out there and you have an idea or support a cause and you're not necessarily getting the type of support or money that you want to get from corporate sponsors. It's like, it's all right, man. Just if you believe in your cause strong enough, as long as you're not hurting nobody, as long as you're not inciting violence, as long as it's all positive energy, positive vibes. I'm like, yo, do what you got to do, man. Always come with the logic and the facts. Always come with open heart and an open mind. But if you have a cause and you feel like it's all about it, forget what they're trying to give you, man. Forget these sponsors and corporate. Like, to me, that's a form of control. Like, is there like, yo, I don't have enough money to survive, so let me tweak my image so I can get with this corporate sponsor. It's like, nah. If you're independent, if you're truly about your grind, if you're truly about believing in what you believe in and having your own set of ideals and causes, man, fight for your cause. Don't let the dollar amount that you're bringing in decide what you're actually going to fight for. Because believe me, the money will come. It always ends up coming. Like, at first, I didn't believe it, man, when everybody says it. But I'm starting to see, like, stay true to yourself. Stay grinding. Stay visible. Stay focused. Stay with an honest heart and honest mind. You might make mistakes. You might make slip-ups. But as long as you're honest with the people who mess with you, one, you can't get canceled. But two, you'll always be all right. You'll always find success. You'll always find that little gem, you know what I mean? That little spot at the end of the road where you're like, yo, this is going to be okay. It's not showing up right now, but I know I'm putting in the effort. I'm putting in the time. I'm putting in everything I need to put in to make sure this recipe turns out right. So that's all it is, man. That's half the recipe is just knowing how much and how little to put into it. You know what I mean? Like that's half. The other thing is actually having the ingredients. I mean, that's probably you need to have the ingredients. Let's not lie. Like, if you ain't got no eggs, don't substitute that for water. It's not going to be a good binding process. It's just the eggs are a good binding, water is ass. So, yeah, I think I'm going to check out right there, man. I'm going to get out of here. Remember to follow your dreams, man. Don't let a corporate sponsor determine what you got to do. Fight for you. Fight for your rights. Fight for your love. Fight for your interests. Fight for your community. Fight for fighting sake, man. Just fight. Punch. Find you a small, I was gonna say babies, but no, we're not punching babies. We are not with this. This is not a Will Ferrell movie, okay? We are not swinging on infants, okay? If you never saw that movie, it's hilarious. But he's running against John C. Reilly to be hilarious. If they punched that baby, I thought I was going down. But anyway, find you a nice little punching bag, you know what I'm saying? And just hit that thing, take out some aggression, get yourself worked up, and then go succeed and goal chase, man. And that's my goal for the day. Succeed, goal chase, and don't punch a baby. Yep, that's the motivation for the day. That's the advice. I'll catch y'all next time, man. Be kind, be dope, but more importantly, anything else, man. Be yourself. I'll catch y'all later. Peace.